Imagine you were told that in your state, buying butter was no longer legal. You can buy lard or olive oil or any seed oil you can find, but butter is not available for purchase. You can buy heavy cream and make your own butter, but you can't buy butter. There is a bill being proposed, a proposition, in Oregon for the November 22 general election that is even more stupid than that, and it involves a giant industry in Oregon, thousands of jobs directly and indirectly impacted, and the general health of Oregonians may be compromised. The Culinary Libertarian Podcast, episode 155.
Welcome to the Culinary Libertarian Podcast, where the philosophy is free, but the food is on you.
Hello, folks. Dan Reed here, the Culinary Libertarian. Welcome back to the podcast. Happy to have you here. Happy to be here. Does following the recipe procedure in most cookbooks leave you frustrated and unsure? Some are so badly written, even I don't always know what the author expects. Find your confidence in cooking and praise from your guests with the recipes in my cookbook, Cooking for Comfort, One Pot Meals You Can Make. The procedures will make you the star of the show after, of course, the wonderful food. Pick up your copy on Amazon or find a link on the page, culinarylibertarian.com/cookingforcomfort. By now, lots of you have heard or read the phrases, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Those are from Orwell's novel, 1984. 2021 was a fiesta of word salad. 15 days to flatten the curve. Vaccines stop the transmission. Vaccinated people can't get sick. Vaccinated people can't pass it on. Agency A or expert representative B says X, then they say Y, and it's as if X never existed. It has happened so often we are numb to it. Numb we may be, but we must live with the roller coaster of policies and mandates that plainly don't do what they were claimed to do. Remember AOC and her co-farts and are ruining mankind comments? The farting cows were part of the much broader and more ambitious Green New Deal. The Green New Deal was a big deal for a short while. No doubt Trump made a mean tweet, then the media was off to the new shiny thing. But for the Green New Deal, ideas stuck around. Like with many ideas coming from Washington or state governments, they often overshoot the target on purpose. Ask for everything and settle for something is generally the plan. And in accepting less than was asked for, they appear willing to deal. Except, I'm cynical enough to believe the goal was any bite at all and not the whole meal, so to speak. The idea of a Green Deal is to get to net zero carbon emissions by 2050. That's part of the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Plan. The WeForum.org page has lots of content about worldwide carbon reduction and green technologies. World goals seem impossibly huge. Even goals for countries or nations seem almost preposterously massive, and to borrow a phrase, inconceivable. But what if a state wanted to enact some plan? Maybe a proposal for a general election to make animal husbandry mostly illegal, a plan to make hunting and fishing illegal. That might be easier to accomplish. Enter David Mickelson, the principal person behind the Yes on IP13, It's Time to End Animal Cruelty, the petition in Oregon to put the proposal to end animal cruelty on the ballot. Now, if you're saying to yourself, self, who could be opposed to ending animal cruelty, and why is that bad to end animal cruelty? The answer starts with the deception about the bill itself. The Abuse, Neglect, and Assault Exemption Modification and Improvement Act is the focus of the IP13 ballot initiative for the November 22 Oregon general election. The chief argument from Mickelson is that the current law, Oregon Statute 167.320, reads, quote, "A person commits the crime of animal abuse in the first degree if, except as otherwise authorized by law, the person intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly, A, causes serious physical injury to an animal, or B, cruelly causes the death of an animal, or 2, any practice of good animal husbandry is not a violation of this section," end quote. Mickelson finds this hypocritical. On the Voices for the Animals podcast, Mickelson explains the IP13 this way, quote, "If passed, it would remove all the current exemptions for animal cruelty laws. So the way they're currently written in Oregon statutes, we have these really great definitions of what animal abuse is, what animal neglect is, what animal sexual assault is. But then, immediately after we define these acts, we list a bunch of exceptions saying that these industries can't be charged with animal abuse. These individuals, if you buy a license, can't be charged. These researchers can't be charged, right? So, one of the examples is animal abuse in the first degree is causing serious injury or fatal injury to an animal intentionally. And that sounds on its surface reasonable, right? That sounds like animal abuse if you're seriously injuring an animal. But then they say good animal husbandry doesn't count. Hunting doesn't count. Slaughtering doesn't count. Experimentation doesn't count. So by removing all those exemptions, we're holding everyone to the same standard when it comes to animal cruelty, and it's a very radical, it would radically transform how we treat animals in the state of Oregon," end quote. Noah Bristol is the host of the Voices for the Animals podcast. He asks Mickelson to, quote, "paint us a picture for what Oregon would look like after this passes. How would industries change?" End quote. Mickelson responds, quote, "To speak to that dichotomy point is actually the Oregon State Statute, defined in their section, Chapter 167, where all these laws are contained. They specifically say and acknowledge that animals are sentient beings capable of experiencing pain, stress, and fear, that we should care for animals in ways that minimize their pain, stress, and fear. It is really an interesting dissociation from our values and a disconnect from our values because we define that in statute, then go ahead and say, well, all the suffering, we're just going to go ahead and do it, which is frustrating. But if this passes and we do actually align our legislation with our values, Oregon will essentially become a sanctuary state for animals," end quote. What stood out in this entire interview was the glaring absence of the impact to the Oregon beef industry, the jobs lost, the hardship felt by the humans and perhaps the animals, and the explanation of how putting Oregonians out of work fits in with his values. My goal isn't to beat up on Mickelson too much. He agreed to appear on Noah's show, but seemed pretty ill-prepared for what seemed softball questions. My first thought is that last thing any state needs is centrally planned anything. Mickelson comes off as a pie-eyed do-gooder with no comprehension of the unintended consequences of imposing industry-stifling regulations. He isn't asked about the sovereign Indian nations and what will be asked of them if they have to surrender anything. Noah didn't ask what happens when an animal is injured and dying. Can it be put out of its misery, or must it wither and die on its own? No mention is made of the state of the elderly cows and what pain they may be in at old age. For all the values he says he has, I would like to know if mercy killing is one of them. Noah didn't ask about recreational hunting or fishing. Urban deer are plentiful in Oregon, and if hunting is banned, they will only increase. More deer searching in gardens for scarce food makes unhealthy deer. Not far from where I live, a cougar was spotted in a residential neighborhood. More weak deer make easy pickings for predators most people would prefer not to know exist nearby. One last point on the Yes to IP13 website mentions, and David mentioned on his interview, is the proposed legislation is not banning the meat industry. It is banning the killing of beef cattle. Oh, sure, they say, you can have beef, but you can't have Oregon beef. That's a bit like saying someone doesn't want to ban cars, they just want to ban tires. You can have all the cars you want. You just can't have tires. Mickelson also appeared on the Jane Unchained show with anchor Danny Rukin and says he would like to see such referendums in every state. Colorado has the PAWS Act, Protect Animals from Unnecessary Suffering and Exploitation. Danny offered that this bill in Oregon will help the climate change. That's red flag number one. Red flag number two was Mickelson offering his affiliation with the socialists. Let's go back to AOC. You may remember the reveal of the Green New Deal and cow farts. Yeah, that was funny, and she took some heat for it, but there was more to that than met the eye. The World Economic Forum is the force behind the Great Reset and the Great Food Transformation, and I've done episodes on both of those topics. culinarylibertarian.com/121 and the same base, but /122. I'll put links to those on the show notes page for this episode, culinarylibertarian.com/155. On the weforum.org page, why we all need to go on the planetary health diet to save the world, these paragraphs paint the picture well. Quote, the planetary health diet, which involves a shift toward plant-based eating, was designed by 37 experts as part of the EAT Lancet Commission to answer the question of how we're going to feed a projected 10 billion people without destroying the planet by 2050. The report reads, this includes a more than doubling in the consumption of healthy foods, such as fruits, vegetables, legumes, and nuts, and a greater than 50% reduction in global consumption of less healthy foods, such as added sugar and red meat, end quote. Setting aside the arguments for what constitutes a sound diet, episode 128, the bold plan to cut red meat production to 50% or more should make people take notice. Neither the article nor Mickelson addressed how half of the ranchers are expected to make a living. Learn to code, I guess. There is an unseen part of reducing or eliminating meat processing. Wesley J. Smith wrote the article, The Plan to Destroy Animal Agriculture, and includes this passage, quote, today, the use of non-human animal products is so diverse and widespread that it is impossible to live in modern society and not support the non-human animal industry directly. For example, the blood of a slaughtered cow is used to manufacture plywood adhesives, fertilizer, fire extinguisher foam, and dyes. Her fat helps make plastic, tires, crayons, cosmetics, lubricants, soaps, detergents, cough syrup, contraceptive jellies and creams, ink, shaving cream, fabric softeners, synthetic rubber, jet engine lubricants, textiles, corrosive inhibitors, and metal machining lubricants. Her collagen is found in pie crusts, yogurt, matches, banknotes, paper, and cardboard glue. Her intestines are used for strings for musical instruments and rackets, her bones in charcoal ash for refining sugar in ceramics and cleaning and polishing compounds. Medical and scientific uses abound, and there is much, much more, end quote. So, disruption is the best we can hope for when animal agriculture goes away. I can appreciate that Mikkelsen holds his views passionately. Being passionate about what he eats is good. I'm passionate about my food. I have no more of a claim to his dinner plate and its contents than he does to mine, and that's as it should be. To bring this subject back local to this town, I know people here who make their living as ranchers. I know that Joel Salatin makes his living as a farmer, and part of that living includes selling processed chickens from his farm. I know that Congressman Thomas Massey has a working farm and does farm things. Mikkelsen wants to change the language of the law for the state to read as he prefers it to read. In his talk with Danny, he commented, unironically, quote, institutes of oppression will often try to justify the oppression in some form, end quote. Absolutely correct. He's finding ways to justify that I can't get beef for my table and the rancher who lives by that trade can't earn a living. As a representative for his campaign, he is the institute of oppression. And animal cruelty is listed in the Act Blue fundraising website, which helps Democratic and progressive grassroots and big names raise cash for campaigns or for projects. And animal cruelty may not know of the Great Reset, but some of the people to whom donors may contribute most certainly do. There seems every reason to think this is a trial balloon for the rest of the country, given that the World Economic Forum is very dedicated to making the Great Reset and its offshoots, the Great Food Transformation and the Fourth Industrial Revolution, episode 145, a fact and a part of everyone's life. My principal beef with this proposal is the method of the ask. Well, and that it exists. If you are approached by a person who asks you if you are opposed to animal cruelty, of course, you say yes. It's a poor approach that leads to a logical fallacy bait and switch. If they ask you, are you opposed to good sources of amino acids in your diet? I'll bet you would say no, give me amino acids. From this rather wee group of folks interested in putting Oregonians out of work, see how easy it is to slant the idea? Going all the way to the World Economic Forum may seem a giant step. Schwab has been more than plain about his plans and intentions about reducing beef production and consumption as part of that big plan. Plant-based protein, the Impossible Burger and such things, are being pushed as vital, necessary, and inevitable. TheHayride.com reports that Bill Gates in an interview with MIT Tech Review, said in part, quote, "I don't think the poorest 80 countries will be eating synthetic meat. I do think all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. You can get used to the taste difference, and the claim is they're going to make it taste even better over time. Eventually, that green premium is modest enough that you can sort of change the behavior of people or use regulation to totally shift the demand," end quote. Now, he's talking here about synthetic beef, which is a thing, but there's also some talks with him about eating this plant-based meat product. It seems a really good deal to be in the plant-based protein business if you are the largest farmland holder in the United States. The ideas in the Great Reset are amazing, almost impossible in scope and execution, but amazing. I would like little more than to be wrong, but given the amount of content Schwab has published about what the Great Reset will require and is intended to do, I don't think I'm off too very much on this. It seems only a matter of time. The key seems to be resistance. Vote no on bills in your state to centrally plan anything. Vegans have no right to craft legislation about what you eat, just as carnivores have no right to tell vegans what to eat. Your food is your choice. If there is a fatal flaw in such plans, it is the hubris that everyone impacted agrees with the premise. Mickelson has that hubris. He is convinced all 4 million Oregonians agree with him and seems incapable of comprehending how anyone would be opposed to this. If bills such as this pass, the sheriff is usually the agency tasked with enforcement. Write your sheriff and express your expectation that such laws will not be enforced. A good sheriff can nullify bad law simply by not enforcing it. Let's take a moment out for a word from Jake about his Tasting Anarchy podcast.
Hey everyone, Jake here, host of the Tasting Anarchy podcast. Join my co-host Mason and I each week as we explore the world of wine and alcohol through a Liberty lens. You can find us on all your major podcatchers, tastinganarchy.com or Tasting Anarchy on Twitter. Tasting Anarchy, your wine and liberty podcast. Find out how much government is in your drink.
Now, all this seems like a lot. A bill in one state with possible connections to the World Economic Forum. What more could there be? The war on meat, and that's what this is still ramping up. It might not be plain, but that doesn't mean it isn't there. There are articles about how the beef and cattle industry are bad for the environment, bad for your health, bad for climate change, warming, cooling crisis, whatever it is this week, and that the slaughterhouses are like a scene from Dexter, just worse. Those articles are very effective at playing on your emotions. SentinetMedia.org has a post about the dangers of eating meat and the costs in energy and the costs to wildlife and the amount of food and water. Then how eating meat impacts erectile dysfunction, causes acne, and the section on Alzheimer's disease opens with this, quote, "There is some evidence that suggests eating a plant-based diet can reduce your risk of Alzheimer's disease," end quote, and the paragraph ends with this. "Recent studies show that eating a Western diet notoriously high in red and processed meat can diminish brain function and increase your risk of developing Alzheimer's, although more research is required," end quote. So be terrified, but there isn't enough research to support the fear. But be afraid, just in case. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? In another article from Sentinel Media, they warn that the novel, The Jungle, is being recreated and write about one slaughterhouse which makes dog food. Are there sloppy and poor performing slaughterhouses? Yes. Are there dishonest car mechanics? Yep. Abolishing auto mechanics for the fringe incompetent mechanics seems a big overcorrection. Through this, the main kind of farm identified by Mikkelsen is the factory farm. The gigantic lots of cattle. What will be caught up in this bill is the local rancher. That's what's in my town. Small beef sales. And that's what Joel Salatin does. He sells chickens. And Massey sells beef. Mikkelsen is not wrong that factory farming is a horror. I agree with him on that. But let's put the focus on beef and poultry and pork processing to the states, end the near monopoly on slaughterhouses. Local access to meat will also end the well-traveled meat from out of state, which adds exhaust and carbon to the atmosphere. Nothing says you care for the climate change by driving food 3,000 miles across the country. To review, vote against proposals to ban anything. Don't like it? Don't buy it. There are always unintended consequences to legislation. Eat local as much as possible, and that includes shopping local. Giant supermarkets employ locally, and that's good because the employees keep the money in town. That's fine. We want that. But they don't sell local products. Farmers markets and butcher shops and fishmongers are better options for closer to you foods. Find out where the nearest dairy is. See if you can buy raw milk. See if you can buy a pasteurized milk from them. Who in your neighborhood will sell you a dozen eggs? That's better than the stuff in the store, and that's definitely local. You know what you're getting. You see Frank every day, so he's gonna sell you good eggs. Part of thinking about these kinds of things, part of thinking about what the Great Reset's going to do, what they want with what they want it to do, what they want the food transformation to do in the fourth industrial revolution, they want massive central planning. And it's really truly is inconceivable to figure out how they think this can function. But they think it can. What I think they didn't count on, let me start again. What I think they expected to happen was some level of resistance. I don't know where that line is. They certainly wouldn't tell me if I asked. So let's make sure they get resistance. Yes, this is not a call to arms. This is just saying, this is peaceful resistance. Don't obey the law that you can't have meat in your state. Find a way to do it. Find a sheriff who won't enforce the laws. This is absurd that anybody would choose something for everybody, no matter how much you like it, is an idiotic thing. I would never say, here's a law that you can only eat butter and olive oil, you can't have seed oil. I think you shouldn't have seed oil, but you can make that choice. I can give you lots of reasons why you shouldn't, but you can make that choice. I certainly wouldn't write a law that says you can't do it. So there is passion on both sides. There is reason on one side. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I do want to follow up a point about the sovereign nations of Oregon. The Yes on IP13 website does read that the Oregon Indians are not included in the proposed changes. Now, I will put the links to the podcasts I mentioned that are relative to this topic on today's show notes page, culinarylibertarian.com/155. If this school year and thinking about your kids doing the zombie walk or playing instruments in class inside of a zippered bubble is more than you can stand, check out the self-taught Ron Paul homeschool curriculum. Your kids get treated like people and you get your sanity back. Click over to culinarylibertarian.com/homeschool to learn how the Ron Paul curriculum can put education back into your kids' education. And the lunches are much better. Please share this episode on your social media feeds and like it when you see it. Also, please rate and review the show on your favorite podcatcher. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian Podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.